listening to His Time. I'm Eddie Bates. It is Monday, April 4th, and it is time to check in with our good friend, Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Thanks for the compliment. I like that phrase, good friend.
Well, you are a good friend. We always have great conversation. Good friends have great conversation, and I always enjoy what you bring to the table to challenge me to think beyond myself and my own little world.
Well, it's always about connection and conversation in God's kingdom. I know it's that way with a lot of things, but a lot of the material that I dig out of the stuff that I read and I look at, and I'm thinking to myself once again about your listeners. Sometimes they must be shaking their head in terms of what's happening in bioethics, and then how do we deal with this in terms of God's word? So these issues are somewhat difficult to get to in terms of theology of the cross, but I always encourage our listeners, you know, sort of think big, go back to the basics of catechesis, worship, liturgy, and look at things that way. We can always, if nothing else, you can get through a lot of this stuff by just studying the Apostles' Creed and then taking the stuff that I'm sharing with you even this morning and say, now, is this in service to the Word of God? So the three topics I have here, one is related once again to the LGBT people, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. There's a big argument going on now. Should they be permitted to visit fertility clinics since it's either two men or two women that seek to have a child? And, you know, are they going to be permitted by state law to do this? I realize for some of your listeners, this may be, well, who cares? But this gets back to the whole issue of same-sex marriage, which gets back to the biblical doctrine and teaching of marriage of one flesh, that is to say, between a man and a woman. So that's a topic that, from the standpoint of the church, because we do not support that type of lifestyle because of the teaching, once again, of creation, which is the first article of the creed, I would imagine that what will pastors and say principals do in Christian day schools, if they have a couple, a man or women, who want to have their child who came through a fertility clinic in vitro fertilization, go to their school, and because of certainly Lutheran schools, Baptist, Catholic schools take non-members. So that's one subject there. The other subject, it deals with the whole thing of euthanasia. Now, in England and the United States, and especially the Netherlands, there is this push to encourage euthanasia, which means good death, but not in Christ, but means I'm going to end my life for various reasons, usually a terminal illness, that organ donation is now being kicked in. And so many people now are thinking about, boy, you know, if I go through euthanasia, I can donate my organ, and I'm going to be a hero. So people who are supporting euthanasia, and we have five states in the United States that support this, they're starting to kick around this idea of encouraging people to donate their organs. So now we have organ donation connected with euthanasia. And the last one that come up once again, and this is something that we discussed several weeks ago, with two physicians, and that is the whole issue of transgender children. Right now, there is a study going on, and it's going to be 280 young people, and this was published in the journal Nature, and they're going to study children who do not want to be the sex that they have been born with, either male or female, and they're going to start to give them certain hormone blockers to either stop the development that they are currently in, either boy or girl, or in some cases to go through surgical intervention. So these are things, you know, doing the right thing by transgender children. People are saying, well, this isn't the easiest thing to do. So there's support, obviously, on both sides of the fence regarding this. And I think that when we talked about it with those two physicians, this whole issue, the research project involves it gives 14-year-olds puberty blockers when the current physician of the Endocrine Society says, wait till they're 16. Now, I realize from a standpoint of theology, Once again, this gets back to the first article, redeemed body and souls, saying, I don't like what I am. So the statistics demonstrate that most children who struggle over this when they're young, if they're allowed to continue to grow in the sex that they have been born with or conceived with, really, they usually change. So, and there's about a 10 or 15% number that say, no, I want to change. So those are the three topics that once again call us back to the basics of whose we are, not who we are, but whose we are in Christ, and then the struggle that these young people go through, you know, in terms of sex change and manipulation. So
until we,
not a very happy morning, but that's the way it is.
Until we had talked with Dr. Critella and Dr. Orient about transgender issues in children, I was not aware of the medication that was used to block certain hormones during puberty in children who struggled with gender identity. I wasn't even aware that that was a regular practice among physicians, these hormone blockers that basically prevented puberty from happening. It was just, I hadn't even thought of that, and to give it full consideration, it seems rather frightening.
It is frightening, and now with this study, I think the study is even more frightening, to take 280 14-year-olds and then to examine them, and then to, you know, they have to have some controls where some are going to get, instead of puberty blockers, they're going to get something that they say they are, but they're really not, to see how they respond mentally and emotionally to thinking that they have received these puberty blockers, but in fact they haven't. Well, they will notice that, obviously, as they grow older. Instead of 16-year-olds where they were doing this, now it's going to be 14-year-olds. And so how is all of this going to, you know, play out in terms of what's being published, you know, in the journal Nature? So I think that these types of studies are going to continue to push the issue that, why not, if some child is, as they say, caught in the sex that they don't want to be in, then why not let them, through the parents, change this? So this gets into the issue of parenting, not just the whole issue of hormonal treatment for children who seem to be stuck in the sex that they don't want to be in. Is this being pushed by parents? Are parents saying, let's do this? So I'm surprised that they're not checking out what is going on with parents in these types of things. But I think, as one endocrinologist said in this article, we're walking this line in between. This is the forefront of medicine, and we can't go too fast. Well, it seems to me checking out 280 young people is moving pretty fast.
So it sounds like there's more to this than just biology. There's more to this than just the what's happening with a person biologically, especially with a 14-year-old, that there are some other factors to consider.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot more factors, especially the whole idea of the emotions, the psychology. And there's no evidence that they're even going to be dealing with any of the structured thinking of, how would I say, people that, or say churchgoers, you know, they're not even dealing with that. So in that context, I think that, you know, it's going to take some doing and some looking into what really is going on. And so I'm hoping that pastors and this again, and other church workers who are involved in some of this stuff, we can make them aware of this, as you have said, that you were not aware that these hormonal blockers were being used. And in fact, and then get back into, well, how should we respond to something like this if someone comes to us and says, gee, I wonder if we should be doing this. You know, I think that we have to get back to the basics and get into the whole issue of creation and start to teach and educate people at a very young age regarding the Creator and what He has made us to be, and then perhaps even get some professional counseling for some of these people that are struggling over this. And it's not an easy thing to answer, but it is something that we need to be informed about and know that we should be dealing with it one way or the other.
I'm glad you mentioned professional counseling, because we're not saying that that someone, you know, that teens or children don't struggle with gender identity. What we're saying is that it's worth a much deeper look than just writing it off as something that can be quote unquote corrected with medication, that can be treated with pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, well, precisely. And I'm hoping that whenever this study is completed and we can maybe discuss it more, maybe get the two physicians back on your program, that we might have a way to fill in some of this stuff, because this gets back into the age-old teaching of Gnosticism, where the body really doesn't matter. In other words, matter doesn't matter. The body's wishy-washy, and you can do with it what you want. And we would say, biblically, no, you shouldn't be doing with it what you want, because this is not an issue. You know, is this enhancement or is this treating a disease? It's never been thought that your sex, boy or girl, man or woman, was a disease. So this gets into some complicated scenarios where how do we deal with this type of medicine in service to the Word of God?
Sure, puberty blockers. I mean, that implies that puberty is a disease.
Yes. And I'm not sure, they never look at it that way, and they don't talk about it that way, but I think we have to get at something like this from that position. And I realize we stick to our vocation. We're not physicians, but I do believe we can at least start to get some input from physicians like you had on your radio program, so that we can gain understanding, background, and then get in and search the scriptures on this to start to struggle with these types of issues, because it's not going to go away. In fact, it tends to be growing, and people are scratching their heads. What do we do about this as a Christian community?
Certainly. And that you're right. That does, I believe, merit another conversation with Dr. Cretella and Dr. Orient on faith and family. We'll try to do that again in the future.
Yes, and Dr. Cretella and I have talked about this already, so it'll be interesting to see how she's thinking about this down the road.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. Great conversation, and I know you're headed to a presentation this morning. I pray all goes well with that.
Thank you very much. Godspeed to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You as well. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Clifton Lohman from First Lutheran Church in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. We'll take a look at Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. And then after that, a little sacred music and morning prayer all on the way. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.